Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello, and welcome to Pantheon's third webinar of 2022. I'm Jay Cheatham. I'm the CEO of Pantheon Resources. On the webinar today, we have Justin Hondris, our financial director, Bob Rosenthal, our technical director, and our two presenters, Michael Duncan, our VP of Operations and Engineering, and Ed Duncan, consulting geologist. And we're going to talk about modeling and going from vertical to horizontal wells. I'm assuming if you're tuning in for this webinar, you've watched the last one where we reviewed the winter results. Here's our disclaimer. Please read it. In that earlier webinar, we presented flow rates from the various tests from the two vertical wells, Talitha A and Theta West number one. As a reminder, those rates were 42 barrels of oil per day in the Talitha A lower basin floor fan and 57 barrels of oil per day from the lower basin floor fan at Theta West number one. And that second test was cut short because of winter weather. We also tested the slope fan system at Talitha A at 45 barrels of oil per day. And we made an assertion that those rates translated into commercial developments. After the webinar, we received comments that we hadn't shown adequate reservoir data, meaning porosity and permeability, and the analysis to confirm that assertion. As a result, we decided to do this webinar. So in today's webinar, we will show using reservoir engineering analytics from several independent sources that will illustrate reservoir performance parameters. First, you'll hear from Michael Duncan, and second from Ed. You'll see it's all about scaling performance from a vertical to horizontal wells. And just a final note before I turn it over to Michael. We wouldn't be here today, Pantheon wouldn't, without the work that originated way back in 2011 on tight Brookian sandstone reservoirs by Great Bear. On to you, Michael.
Thank you, Jay. As Jay mentioned, we're really looking to understand how vertical completions and vertical tests extrapolates to horizontal completions and what it'll mean for our horizontal wells in the future. So we've endeavored through multiple different methods to forecast the horizontal wells and what their production will be. So we've gone through an extensive campaign. I'm going to talk about three different methods we've used for forecasting, predicting horizontal well rates and formation deliverability. All of these methods are industry accepted. All of them are commonly used, and I'll discuss the methods in detail. But the three that we'll focus on in this presentation, first is volumetric bracketing. This is a simple concept of how much oil is in place around a well that you will contact, and what percentage of that can you get out of the reservoir. The second method we'll discuss is scaling. We have vertical tests. How will those translate into horizontal production? That's been done for decades now, actually. And so we'll look at two SPE methods, SPE published methods, and we will walk through the calculations. Multi-stage completions are commonplace these days. We can look to analog developments. True analog is difficult because this reservoir is better than other reservoirs being developed right now. So when we look to, for example, the Permian Basin as an analog, it's a great analog showing the deliverability. But it's not a perfect analog because, to be honest, our reservoirs are better. And so there's reason to use that as a baseline and go from there. And then last of all, a quick note, we've sought and passed a third-party assessment of that, and we've received validation as such. And so Lee Keeling and Associates did an independent expert report on the deliverability of the Alkaid, and it certainly affirms what we forecast for horizontal deliverability. So with that, I'll dive into the methods. First, we're going to look at volumetric bracketing. Once again, this is just the concept of what does a well contact? How much rock does it contact? How much oil is there? And what percentage of that will you recover? So I use this graphic to display the concepts of what a well will really contact once it's drilled and completed. And so for this exercise, I'm using a generic 8,000 foot well. That's a commonplace well. Many vertical horizontal multi-stage developments drill laterals of that length. It's not an aggressive target. That 8,000 foot horizontal should contact reservoir with a width of about 880 feet. And that's a common spacing. So common development, they'll put six horizontals, in a mile, meaning that each one contacts a width of about 880 feet. And then the vertical contact, we're assuming 200 feet for this example. That's commonplace as well. It's reasonably accepted that fracture stimulations can certainly achieve that height, if not more. And so once again, that's not an aggressive assertion that 200 feet of reservoir contact is appropriate for a well. But if you take those concepts, that's the volume of rock that a horizontal well can contact. And then you apply some reasonable reservoir properties, as we've seen in our wells, 11.5% porosity, 55% oil saturation, and a 1.35 B sub O, which is reasonable and what we've seen thus far. It calculates thusly. And so on the right, the calculation of how much rock, 1.4 billion cubic feet of rock. If it's 11% porosity, it's 161 million cubic feet of porosity and it works out to be about 89 million cubic feet of oil. And so that's the rough numbers that we use. If you look to recover 10% of that, it's 1.2 million barrels. 1.7 million barrels recovery. And so that certainly affirms our ballpark estimates. This generic example, rough contact, you're looking at 1.2 to 1.7 million barrels of oil recovery. Now, key assumption for that is, of course, recovery. Can you get 10%? Can you get 15%? And for that, we go back to J.J. Arps. This is the engineer that the Arps equation is based on. And so the standard recovery equation, the Arps equation, is based on this. The original publication, we go back here, and this is an excerpt from his publication on estimation of primary recovery. And we've highlighted, in this case, the parameters that are most applicable to our reservoir. So you see on the left-hand side, one of the main drivers is the gas-oil ratio. 600 is where we've highlighted it. That falls in line with our measurements and our calculations on what we've produced thusly. Oil gravity, we've highlighted 30. We're actually getting 35 to 38 API gravity. So there's reason to believe we'll do better than what's highlighted here. But the big conclusion, looking back to the guy who literally wrote the book on recovery calculation, his estimate is a range between 8.4 to 24.3% with an average of 15.1. So going back to our volumetrics, can we get 10%? Very likely, yes. Can we get 15%? That's right about where J.J. Arps estimated the average back when. And to this day, this is still the guy we go to and his equations for estimating oil recovery. The second method we talked about is scaling. We have vertical tests. What does that translate to in the horizontal? And once again, I look to predecessors in engineering and look to SB publications. And so the two methods I'm highlighting here are a gentleman named Joshi and a gentleman named Babu. And they have published methods of extrapolating from vertical to horizontal production. This is a spreadsheet that calculates based on their methods and duplicating it as such. Some of the highlights on this that I want to talk to, once again, when we look to the left of horizontal well properties,
same assumptions, an 8,000 foot horizontal. That's what we're scaling to. Very reasonable. A lot of reason to think we could exceed that. Drainage width, once again, 880. Very reasonable, commonplace. And we look up, highlighted above, permeability is a main driver in this as well. You know, we, in this case, estimate 0.16 millidarcies permeability. That's been validated by core measurements, and that's been validated by our interaction with it, be it defit, be it fracking, be it drawdowns. We have a lot of evidence that these permeabilities are quite real. And then we look at the results on the right, their calculations with appropriate production drawdown. These estimates put it about 108 barrels of oil a day for vertical. And so it does correlate and is calibrated to what we got in the past in the Alkaid. And then they scale from that. Joshy scales it up to about 1,659 barrels of oil a day in the well, as we've estimated on the left. And Babu calculates it up to 2,200 barrels a day. So standard scaling methods that have SPE publications, estimates based on what we've seen in the reservoir and what we look to in our development. And they're forecasting, you know, 1,600 to 2,200 barrels a day scaling from a vertical to a horizontal, and that's in an 8,000 foot horizontal. For a generic forecast, this is a type curve we've used for modeling. And this is based on a 10,000 foot lateral, and we've modeled 1,500 barrels a day production. So below what Joshy and Babu would forecast for a slightly shorter model. So once again, we're looking at past scaling methods and what it would look like. When we look to those who've scaled before us, they would estimate 1,600 to 2,200 barrels a day. We're modeling 1,500. And so there's reason to think that our beliefs are conservative, to think that there's a lot of room to outdo what we've currently modeled and what we've called. The third method we've discussed is comparing this to other developments. In this case, I'm going to compare it to the Permian Basin. To be clear, the Permian Basin is not a real analog. It's only an analog in the fact that the same development methods are used, but the reservoir is not analogous. When we look to the Permian Basin, we see that this type of well, you know, an 8 or a 10,000 foot horizontal, is commonplace. And we looked at these recoveries, you know, are similar. They're getting wells, in this case, Bone Spring, they're getting wells of 500,000 barrels a day of 500,000 barrels EUR of oil, or 720,000 barrels of oil equivalent. You know, this commonplace development is effective, and that's ultimately the point I want to make. But when we look at our reservoir, our reservoir properties are much, much better. And that's what I'm trying to show the left, is that our permeabilities are 100 to 10,000 times. I mean, the deliverabilities are much, much more. The porosity alone is 20 to 80% more. So the same well contact and the same, just by the amount of rock you're touching, there's 20 to 80% more oil there. And when you look at our permeability is 100 to 10,000 times more, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic that the 720,000 barrels of oil a day equivalent you'd see out of a Bone Spring well is actually a very, very low comparison to what we should be expecting out of ours. So there's tons of reason for optimism. You know, when you look to permeability as a main driver, we're really looking at 100 to 10,000 times permeability. When you're looking at just the amount of oil there, there's lots more oil there just in the rock. And so once again, it's hard to find an analog, because reservoir of this quality was developed 50, 70, 100 years ago using old methods, using today's methods that are properly applied in the Permian Basin. There's a lot of reason to say that not only can we do better than what's done in the Permian, we can do much, much better than the Permian. And so, once again, a true analog right now is hard to find, because this rock was long ago developed. But when we look to successful methods used today, we can certainly outdo what's being done elsewhere. You know, to summarize our look at this, it's easy to look at the Permian Basin and say they're doing great and say we can do much better. I mean, we're not in nanodarcy rock. We're in millidarcy rock. But also, when we look to our quantitative methods of this, we looked at scaling from a vertical to a horizontal. It estimates that we're, you know, exceeding our forecasts. And that there's a lot of reason that we'll have great deliverability, as we've said, and a lot of reason to cornerstone economic development on that. When we look at just the reservoir parameters and what we'll contact volumetrically, there's a lot of reason to see that we'll deliver great wells. And so all of our methods, be it looking to commercial plays now and comparing, being it quantitatively putting this together, all of our methods indicate there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about this and that we'll deliver good wells. And now I'll pass the presentation over to Ed Duncan.
Thank you, Michael. My name is Ed Duncan. I appreciate your time and interest in joining us today. I'd like to take you back in time, quite some time ago, in the early days of Great Bear, when we were starting our review of the Brookian. Jay's already pointed out that we really started our first contract report when we started the company. It was a 2011 evaluation, regional evaluation of Brookian potential by a petrophysicist in Alaska named Ray Eastwood. We followed that with our first 3D in 2012, where we saw Alkaid. That interest in Alkaid was followed by the 2013 3D, where we saw for the first time the Shelf Margin Delta take. At this point, our working interest partners in the project, Halliburton, recommended that we contract Larry Britt, who was a principal at NSI Fracturing LLC, the Tulsa-based group that specializes in planning and executing lateral wells, horizontal wells with multi-stage fracs, and modeling those fracs. To give you an impression or understanding of what you're likely to achieve from a production perspective. So this work was done in 2013. It's proprietary to us, but we're sharing it with you as part of the driver behind our interest in the Brookian conventional potential. Larry Britt modeled what he referred to as Brookian fans. That's a bucket term that includes the Shelf Margin Deltaic, slope fan system, and basin floor fan reservoirs. Those are the three dominant plays in our Brookian portfolio, from Alkaid to Talitha to Theta West lower basin floor fan. The assumptions, the values that you see on the screen are the assumptions. This is directly copied from Larry Britt's report for us in 2013. The depth, 9,000 feet. It's about right average for all three of those projects. The height of or thickness of the reservoir section, 70 feet. That's way underrepresenting the total reservoir that we have. Reservoir pressure of 4950. That's probably about right again as an average across the three projects. Water saturation, 40%. Not bad. Porosity, 12%. Again, not bad. Permeability next at 0.4 millidarcies. Again, that's not a bad assumption. The KV over KH, that's vertical permeability over horizontal permeability, just illustrating that horizontal permeability is generally perceived and recognized to be much higher than the vertical permeability. Oil API of 26. Now, this is where we actually win quite a lot. Our oils are 35 to 38 API. And API translates through to viscosity, which is the next value. The C, capital P, stands for centipoise. Three centipoise, not bad. That's not a bad oil at all. But we have 35 to 38, probably less than one centipoise or around one a centipoise. And that means that our oils flow much more readily through the permeability zones in our reservoir. So we gain quite a lot from a production rate perspective with the type of oil that we have. Go to the next slide. Larry modeled what we should expect with a vertical completion with the assumptions that we illustrated on the previous slide. 9,000 foot depth with the 70 feet of reservoir. Initial production, the average 30-day production, 49 barrels. That sounds pretty familiar given some of the vertical rates that Michael took us through in his presentation. A first-year average rate of 43, a cumulative oil of 569,000 barrels. Okay, those are not miserable numbers. They're not the types of things that we're looking for on the North Slope of Alaska for sure. Let's take a look at how Larry translates the vertical model into a horizontal well simulation. The curves that you see displayed illustrate Larry's output modeled for a horizontal well using the assumptions that we illustrated in the previous slides. You see a first month rate, that's a 30-day average rate of 1,927 barrels of oil per day. First year average rate of 1,271 barrels of oil per day, and a cumulative 2.5 million barrels of oil. These numbers categorically are similar to the numbers that Michael has modeled with actually hard data, real data from the wells that we have drilled. So I consider this a validation of the work that Michael and the team have done over the last few months, translating what we have from Alkaid to Letha and Theta West Lower Basin Floor Fan into an expectation for our upcoming appraisal and development program. So in specific, the horizontal well simulation results, and this is, again, a 9,000 foot depth. These are Larry's numbers based on assumptions that we've already gone through, a 9,000 foot reservoir depth and IP of a 30-day of 1,927 barrels, first year average rate of 1,271, and a cumulative oil of 2.5 million barrels. The basis of our pursuit of conventional plays was really very much built on this type of work. But I think that what we're seeing today from Michael's work, we're seeing this completely validating the internal Pantheon model from our vertical well performance and observed reservoir parameters into what our expectation is for the potential of these reservoirs going forward. Lastly, I want to put some regional context too, because we've got much more to do, both in the projects that we have in appraisal and development mode. A tremendous amount of rock volume that we have that's oil bearing. On the North Slope of Alaska, there's a huge amount of studies done on reservoir performance, porosity and permeability prediction across a broad range of geological formations. That are relevant to what we are doing. Some are good analogs, some are not so good analogs. The Albian, which is the age of rock that includes the Nanishuk and Turok formations, which you've heard about from Willow and Pika and Horseshoe, are red dots in this display. We know that mineralogically and texturally, the Campanian sandstones that we have, that's Alkaid, shelf margin deltaic at Talitha, the slope fan and the basin floor fan at Theta West and Talitha are similar texturally and mineralogically to the Albium. So the expectation is they ought to behave similarly in the porosity and permeability space. And the data that we have are illustrating that's very likely in a broad regional sense. The work that Larry Britt did, okay, for us, plots very well on this display. The yellow-orange dot in the middle of that yellow oval is the exact location of the assumption data, porosity and permeability data that Larry used in his upscaling from vertical to horizontal. The yellow oval represents the distribution of measured sidewall core and calculated log porosities that from all of our projects, a very broad distribution.
The display of porosity and permeability that we have on the screen in front of us, it includes data, calculated log porosity data from the Theta West lower basin floor fan section that we drilled this year. Remember, we cut 950 feet, nearly 300 meters of 80% net to gross section, all of it oil charged, with 50% of that gross rock volume better than the input data that Larry Britt used in his upscaling from vertical to horizontal. That's a tremendous result for us.
Now, interestingly, the Permian Basin, which was mentioned by Michael, is not a depositional analog, but, but a technology analog, sort of a technology transfer reservoir for us to lean on. The plot's down off this display, okay? It's important to recognize too, this is a linear display in porosity from zero up to 25 or 30%. Yeah. The permeability display or scale is logarithmic. So each change is a tenfold increase up. So 1/10, 100,000, for example. All of our reservoirs are plotting inside this yellow oval. All of these can be judged as commercially developable with the technology that we have access to today. And our approach has always been, and it will continue to be, to integrate the geological characterization with modern reservoir engineering to guide our volumetrics and drilling and completions. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everybody what I said at the last webinar is we're starting a study with Schlumberger to do a 3D visualization of all our reservoirs, the shelf margin deltaic, the slope, and basin floor fan. And what we hope to get out of this is a visualization of the subsurface that will have integrated all our well data, all our engineering data, all our seismic data, and we will see the reservoir distribution across the entirety of the three development projects. All reservoir realizations will include the depositional facies, porosities, permeabilities, and what we'll get out of this is a reservoir effectiveness at a performance volume, i.e. oil in place and expected range of recoveries. This will be the fundamental tool that'll help guide our appraisal and development. So this is our way forward. This is where we are today, but our way forward is very much putting together this 3D visualization. Over to you, Jay.
Thank you, Bob. And thanks to both Ed and Michael for that great presentation. So what we try and do here at Pantheon with our webinars is give the participants an in-depth access to our engineering and geologic work. The real validation of what you've seen here today will come from the Alkaid number 2 well due to spud in July. We'll take a look at the shelf margin deltaic on the way down to the Alkaid formation, and then we'll drill the horizontal in the Alkaid. We'll be on production in October of 2022. We'll establish a production profile. But as a reminder, our modeling is based on 150 barrels of oil per day per 1,000 foot of lateral. And as both Michael and Ed have said, given the analysis that you've seen here today, we have every reason to be very optimistic about those rates and possibly exceeding them. So thanks for everybody. Thanks for Bob, Michael, Ed, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.